Good morning and welcome into Hate the Player, Not the Game. As always, I am Lucas Owens, here to bring you another week of fun sports action. So today we got some college football recaps from this past week and this next week. And I'm going to really look into this week, the top rankings and who I think can make the college football playoff. And then we're going to completely bypass talking about the MLB because not too much interesting stuff has happened there. And completely spend a bunch of time on the NBA draft because that was quite interesting. Last night, some unexpected picks, some very expected picks, and I'll give my opinions on all of that stuff. But before I can discuss that, let's look back at this past week in college football. So, last Friday, basically a week ago, East Carolina and Cincinnati matched up in Nippert Stadium, and no surprise, number 7 Cincinnati beat East Carolina. 55-17. Yeah, this really isn't a shocker. Cincinnati's, I'll talk about it later, but Cincinnati's two big tests are coming up soon because you got UCF and then you got Tulsa in a few weeks. But you know, it's a good for Cincinnati to win like that. There was some discussion about them running up the score, and honestly, the way I see it, Cincinnati has a plausible chance. I think ESPN's All-State playoff predictor is putting it at a 12% chance of getting a team in the college football playoff. Pretty much assume it's going to be Cincinnati if any team from the American is going to get in, which is, I mean, for the American is somewhat good, but you need to run up the score though if you're going to have any chance, and that's what Cincinnati did. So yeah, Desmond Ridder, 327 yards. That's probably the most he's thrown for this season, to be honest. He doesn't really throw for a lot of yards. They rely a lot on their rushing attack. Their rushing attack, though, didn't have the best game. But, you know, 55 points, they did something right on offense. You know, defense did give up 17 to East Carolina. But, I mean, when you're ahead that much, it doesn't really matter. Teams always will end up scoring a few. All right, moving on to the Saturday games. Number 2, Notre Dame beat Boston College 45-31. So Ian Book actually had a tough game. Boston College's defense is a lot better than I think a lot of people expected. Because, I mean, they did give up 45 points, but Book was held to less than 300 yards. Less than 90 yards rushing for him, too, which he was somehow the leading rusher in that game. But, you know, Boston College just couldn't get it done. I was going to talk about number 12 Georgia at Mizzou, but they did not play last week because of a positive test and contact tracing, I believe, on Mizzou's side. Yeah. So, you know, just being careful. But they will be – Mizzou is still planning on playing this week in Columbia, South Carolina, the other Columbia, against South Carolina. But, you know, that game, I think they're planning on, if they can, making it up the week of the SEC championship game. That's the week a lot of people are looking at for the SEC. So hopefully they get there and can make it up and not have any other unforeseen circumstances. All right, going on, more SEC action. Number 6, Florida took down Arkansas 63-35. I don't know how you don't say Kyle Trask is way ahead in Heisman races right now. I've been saying it all year. I've been really impressed by Kyle Trask. You know, the progression from last year to this year. Because he was good last year. He's fantastic this year. 356 yards, 6 touchdowns against Arkansas, which most years that would be like, it's Arkansas. But this year, Arkansas actually has a good defense. Behind a former Mizzou head coach and now Arkansas defensive coordinator Barry Odom. Florida's defense giving up 35 to Arkansas is a little troubling for them, but, you know, they keep winning. And if they keep winning, they're going to find themselves in the SEC championship against Alabama And I don't see them winning that just because it's Alabama. And that probably means there's only going to be one SEC team in the playoff, which I say is good because there should only be one SEC team in the playoff. But who knows? Who knows? Either way, it's going to go. All right, the big game of the week, because I get to talk about how Miami are frauds again. Miami barely outlasted Virginia Tech 25-24. So people are finally realizing, hey, college football in general isn't the best this year, but Miami also is not good. I think they dropped out of the top 10 completely, which is good. But, I mean, they're just... They barely beat NC State last week. They barely beat Virginia Tech this week. And, I mean, how can you say this team is good anymore? They should have three losses in a bad ACC. Like, I just really don't believe the hype. I mean, they're going to go bowling, and they're not doing terrible for where Miami has been past years. They probably won't lose to Louisiana Tech in a bowl this year, but I'm still sticking with my opinion that Miami's frauds. Miami's very fraudulent, right? The big surprise in college football this year, though: number 10 Indiana, 24 Michigan State, 0 Indiana, 4-0 heading into a game with Ohio State, who is 3-0. I honestly really like this because, you know, Indiana, I honestly forget they're in the Big Ten East sometimes, because, I mean, Purdue, which is also in the state of Indiana, is in the Big Ten West, so it's a weird split there. They really kind of stick out like a sore thumb in that division, and, you know, they beat Michigan State, they beat Michigan, they beat Penn State, and now they have Ohio State coming up, and hopefully it ends well for Indiana, because, you know, I mean, we'll talk about it later. It's a 20-point spread, but still, Indiana having a nice year. So hope to see them keep winning, keep being as highly ranked as they are, because it's been a lot of fun to watch Indiana this year. All right, Pac-12 action finally getting talked about. Number 11 Oregon beat Washington State 43-29 in just their second contest of the year. You know, not much to talk about. Washington State is okay this year. I mean, can't really judge them off two matchups, but, you know, good for them. Good for them. Yeah. All right. Wisconsin destroyed Michigan. Not much to talk about there. Marshall beat Middle Tennessee by 30. It's Marshall, Middle Tennessee. The CUSA kind of sucks this year. Not surprised. And going back to the American, SMU lost to Tulsa 28-24. Zach Smith had a great day, 325 yards and 3 touchdowns. SMU's offense couldn't do anything in the second half. They were really in the driver's seat going out to a 24-7 lead. And, you know, they kind of blew it. And, you know, I've been saying this all. Tulsa has only won 4 games, but they've looked really good in those 4 games that they've won. And they only lost to Oklahoma State by, like, a touchdown. And Oklahoma State has a fantastic defense. And that really showed, I think, a lot of people, including me, Tulsa has an even better defense this year than they did last year. So, Tulsa, you know, very excited to see them keep playing. They got Tulane this week, but in a few weeks, they get to match up against Auburn, and that should be a lot of fun, because that's a game, if Tulsa keeps winning, those two, they are probably, I would guess, Tulsa right now has to do very bad to not be in the AAC championship. Because at the AAC this year has 11 teams, so it's just the top 2 teams. And Tulsa has a lot of, has a lot of tiebreakers right now because they beat UCF and they beat SMU. So, very much would like to see Tulsa keep going and keep winning. USC barely beat Arizona. USC, I'm sorry, Carlos, they're just not good. Sorry, old friend. Yeah, Liberty keeps winning, and I keep on being sad, but it's Western Carolina. It's their first game of the year. Let's calm down. They're still Liberty. They're playing FCS competition pretty much all year. They really, I mean, just looking at their wins, they're just not very good. Not very good wins at all as the computer crashes. All right, Louisiana beat South Alabama. Not too much of a surprise there. But going back to Liberty, I mean, they beat Virginia Tech in Syracuse. And, I mean, that shows that Miami's fraud. They beat Virginia Tech by more than Miami did. But, I mean, there's just not a lot there. Just really not a lot there. Coastal Carolina, though, that will be a fun match to watch because I have a feeling that's going to be hotly contested. Hopefully it gets played. I really want that to be played just because, you know, Liberty needs a good, you know, good competition. That's not in the ACC because the ACC, again, not very good this year. We did have a lot of postponements again later in the day on Saturday because of coronavirus. I mean, that's to be expected with numbers rising across the country. Hopefully everything can finish out safely. You know, things need to start looking up soon because things are spiraling downhill in this country. And hopefully things get turned around enough that sports can continue to play. Hopefully the NBA, of course, getting ready to start again. The NFL can continue to play their season. College football can finish their season. But, you know, gotta play it by ear. Gotta play it by ear. And things are going crazy in this country. So Auburn is still somehow ranked, which I don't get. They lost to South Carolina. You know, things are crazy in the world. Talking about rankings, let's look at the rankings. If the computer, excuse me, the computer crashed again. There we go. Nope, never mind. Oh, play by play here. Beach ball of death. All right, we got our top 25. All right, so, I mean, the playoff picture right now, it's going to change because it's Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson. Whoever wins Clemson, Notre Dame in the ACC championship game should be the one ACC team to make it. I really don't see both of them making it. And especially if Clemson wins, because Clemson will have Trevor Lawrence back, people are assuming that. And, you know, the fact that he missed the first game, definitely it's a huge factor in it. Then you got Texas A&M and Florida just outside of it. I mean, Texas A&M's one loss is to Bama. I foresee them losing one more, though. Florida did have that one loss to Texas A&M, which is why Texas A&M is ahead of Florida right now. But everybody's assuming they'll make the SEC championship. And Alabama's really good this year, so I don't see it. And then right after that, you got two Group of Five teams, Cincinnati and BYU. Hope to see them keep climbing in. And honestly, after that, I mean, you do have Oregon who has a chance if they run the table. Maybe even the Pac-12. I heard just yesterday that they are experimenting with, like, looking at out-of-conference teams, seeing their procedures and allowing them to play, which would be a good sign for everybody. But who knows how things are going to go. I hope, for everybody's sake, Indiana keeps winning. Indiana gets a win against Ohio State, and then they just run the table through the Big Ten. They make the playoffs. They win the playoffs. National champion Indiana. Heard it here first. All right, well, I will be heading to break as I scream at this computer. So, enjoy this music, and make sure to stay tuned to some Hate the Player, Not the Game. Welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. I forgot to mention the programming note for the rest of the semester and, you know, into the new year. This is my last show until at least mid-January. Because of going home early, I will be heading back to San Jose, California for a long time. I get to see my dog, though, so I'm not complaining. But just a heads up, I will no longer be on KCOU. I will still be planning to do an audio podcast, so sadly means no Inksy Music, which very sad. But all right, let's look at some college football for this week. Something I didn't realize shows me how fake of a fan I am. Tulsa and Tulane are playing tonight. Tulsa favored by 6 in Oklahoma. Yeah, this should be a good game for Tulsa. Tulane has been playing better lately, though. Forgot to mention during my recaps, but they had a big win over Army last week, which was very surprising to a lot of people, including myself. I was kind of shocked, to be honest, because Tulane hasn't looked the best. They've looked very shaky at points this season. You know, that first loss to Navy doesn't really look very good. But, you know, I'm feeling them. Think they have a good shot in this one. I mean, have to see. It's tonight, so hopefully things go well for the Green Right. But Tulsa should keep climbing the rankings. Look like a very complete team this year with that D-line. Yeah, just that'll be a fun one to watch, though. All right, going to the Saturday games. Indiana and Ohio State are playing at Ohio Stadium, like I said before. I don't like to get too personal, but I really want Indiana to win this game. I don't think they're going to win this game. I want Indiana to win this game, though, because, you know, it's Indiana, and they're ranked ninth in the country. It's crazy to see. Hopefully things go their way. But, you know, it's Ohio State. Justin Fields looks fantastic this year. I mean, what do you expect is going to happen? Clemson and Florida State are playing, though. Number 4, Clemson. Yeah, this is not going to be the best game for Florida State. ESPN actually just put out a great article about the downfall of Florida State. Highly recommend reading that. But Florida State has not looked good this year at all. And that's going to continue this week. This is going to be a massacre in Tallahassee. Clemson's just too good on both sides of the ball for Florida State. I mean, really want to see that played. Talking about bad games, competitive standpoint, number 6 Florida is traveling to Tennessee to face Vanderbilt. Yikes. Yeah, that's a tough one for Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, I don't think he's going to win a game this season in the SEC. I mean, it was bound to happen to one team, but I think it's going to be Vanderbilt. You know, it's Vanderbilt. What do you expect? I mean, they had a few good years the last few years. You know, beat Tennessee 2 years in a row. But, yep, that is not a good game for them. I don't think any games are good games for them, though. They beat Mizzou last year. Gotta make up that game at some point. They're probably going to be playing in the snow here in Columbia. I will be in the warm, though, in California, watching from my TV. So, you know, snow games are fun. Snow games are fun when you don't have to be in the cold for them. Appalachian State is at Coastal Carolina, number 15 Coastal Carolina, to be specific, just outside Myrtle Beach in Conway, South Carolina. This is Coastal Carolina's probably one of their biggest tests in the Sun Belt. They've had a few good games in the Sun Belt. You know, Louisiana. And this is a good game. This should be a good game. Appalachian State's, you know, a little disappointing already having that loss. If they could be both undefeated at this point, that would be fantastic. But I expect Coastal Carolina to come away with this one. BYU in their last scheduled game of the year is facing North Alabama, number 8 BYU, to be specific. I keep forgetting to say the rankings. I do not know why I keep doing that. It's North Alabama, and it's a number 8 team. I don't even have to mention how that's going to go. Cincinnati's playing UCF, though. This is a game, even though UCF has 2 losses at this point, I've had earmarked on my calendar That wasn't the right choice for. I have it marked on my calendar, not earmarked. But UCF's been playing well lately. But Cincinnati, if they come out with this win, I don't think it'll catapult a few spots. But if UCF shows that they're competitive, and Cincinnati still wins, yeah, Cincinnati. I mean, I think a lot reputation-wise will be better. They'll probably still be the same spot unless there's some losses. You know, maybe Florida loses to Vanderbilt, but it'll be a good statement win for them. But again, big game for Cincinnati if they come out with this one. Tulsa, last week of the season, and then probably having to face Tulsa again in the conference championship. I believe the first game is in Tulsa, and assuming Cincinnati wins that, because they will be favored by a lot, I would assume. Favored by a lot, I mean they'll be favored by 2 scores. They would face in Cincinnati the next week. Right. Wisconsin is playing Northwestern. Northwestern's had a great start to their season. Wisconsin finally getting a lot of players back from coronavirus. If I had to say there's going to be a difference in this game, it's going to be that. Who fields a healthier team. And hopefully both teams can field a healthy team. Right, Tennessee is facing Auburn, who are somehow moved up in the rankings. I mean, I get that they're 4-2, but still, they really shouldn't have gotten that win against Arkansas. They lost to South Carolina. They got destroyed by Georgia, and it's looking like Georgia might not be the best team like the Georgia they usually are this year. Yeah, this is a puzzling one, but Auburn, I mean, Tennessee, ever since the Mizzou game, really, it felt like they've started coming out really flat, and I think that's going to continue. All right, talking about Georgia, they're facing Mississippi State. The Leech Pirate Pandemonium is quieting down at Mississippi State. Yeah, that's a tough one. They're going to win that game, though. Oklahoma State, Bedlam. Both teams are somehow ranked. Knowing the history of the series, I would favor Oklahoma. But Oklahoma State is a good team this year. They do have that one loss to Texas, which does suck for them. And, And Miami is dodging Georgia Tech. So, yeah. Georgia Tech, they both postponed the game. A lot of postponed games this week. I mean, you got Texas A&M, Ole Miss being postponed. As I mentioned, Miami, Georgia Tech, Marshall, Charlotte, which is surprising to me. And Texas, Kansas, which Kansas still doesn't have one. Poor Kansas. Mizzou fans are fine with Kansas sucking. Central Arkansas and Louisiana also canceled. Sucks because the Raging Cajuns have still been in the top 25, even with the loss. Which that loss, I believe, was to Coastal Carolina. I'm not going to check it because, computer being really finicky this morning. Yeah, should be a disappointing week. Hopefully, no more games get canceled, though, for everybody's health. But for the games that have been canceled, still, it's smart to cancel them. It's not healthy. So, that's all I have for this upcoming week in college football. After the break, you'll get my very uneducated thoughts on the NBA draft. But before the break, it is time for ad read. KCOU would like to remind you that Missouri Tiger football is brought to you by Pizza Tree. Located at 909 Cherry Street, Pizza Tree serves house-made slices straight from their curbside window. On delivered, more information can be found on their website, pizzatreepizza.com, or by phone call at 573-874-9925. Thank you, Pizza Tree, for your support of KCOU, Columbia 88.1 FM, and KCOU Sports, the student voice of your Missouri Tigers. Thank you for listening. Make sure to stay tuned after this break for NBA Draft Talk. Adios. Welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. I am Lucas Owens. It is 9:40 a.m. in the morning. This is not going to be the longest because I gotta be completely honest. If you're looking for good draft analysis, you came to the wrong place. I am very casually interested in the NBA draft process. It was a fun night, though. We had some big picks, some nice moments, and some interesting picks, too. But, let's talk for later. So starting off, number one, Anthony Edwards. I think that's a good fit for Minnesota. I think he was the best player in the draft, in my opinion. But he's a good scorer, good ball handler. Which they don't necessarily need because of D'Angelo Russell. But the problem with Anthony Edwards is you don't know what you're going to get on defense with him. And very undisciplined on that end. At least last year at Georgia he was. So hopefully that ends up well for them, though. I think it's a good pick. They don't get any better from three because he did not have the best three-point shooting season at Georgia. But he can function on off ball, which is what I think Minnesota needed. The other guy that they were looking at was LaMelo Ball, and he would have definitely relied more on handling the ball, which Minnesota really doesn't need. So good pick by them. My hometown, Golden State Warriors, and I say hometown, they play an hour away from me, not very much a hometown, but the Golden State Warriors selected James Wiseman, the center from Memphis, makes one Joe Miller, who, by the way, I'll be on Joe Miller's show tomorrow, no filler Joe Miller. James Wiseman got picked by Golden State. This was the right move. This was kind of a match made in heaven, to be honest, that the Timberwolves were the one team drafting above them, because Wiseman's a very good fit for them at center. But needs a little more efficiency. The problem is we only saw him for three games at Memphis, so people really like to judge him on those three games, but we didn't see a lot. Hopefully things end up well for him at Golden State. I really hope they do. Obviously, because, from the Bay, I like seeing Golden State succeed, but also just because I think it's a good fit for him. Because Golden State right now, there was some also news breaking last night that Klay Thompson has some worries about a possible Achilles injury. I don't think it's been confirmed by anybody. No, it's a lower leg injury, though. Golden State running with a... He's going to immediately slide into the central position for them, which is good, because then you can run a lineup of, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, if he's healthy, Anthony Wiggins, Draymond Green, James Wiseman. That's a pretty good starting lineup. The real key is going to be bench pieces for the Warriors. Good pick. I know some people were expecting them to trade the pick. I think it's good to, look to really make an impact at Golden State next year. LaMelo Ball got picked by the Charlotte Hornets. That will be exciting just because Charlotte doesn't have a lot going for them offensively, and LaMelo has a lot going for him offensively, and he's going to immediately step into a ball-handling role in Charlotte, which will be very fun to watch. Big size for a point guard. He's very young. I think this should be fun to watch, and LaVar Ball might get that one-on-one game with Michael Jordan now, which I would be very excited to see. A lot of talent there. But moving on to Chicago's pick, Patrick Williams, Florida State. Of course, we don't know much because word from, pre-draft process was Patrick Williams was very much improving as he was getting into those pro workouts, which made a lot of teams excited. The only thing that makes me worried is that he did not start a single game. Playing behind other guys at Florida State, it's a freshman. A lot of upside here, but I think it's going to take him a while to work into that. But I think he could end up being a good small forward for Chicago. Isaac Okoro got picked next. You know, okay pick. Good two-way player to say there. Onyeka Okongwu got picked next. I probably butchered that first name. Sorry for that. I try my best here. That's a good pick for the Hawks. You know, they need a center. Yeah, he's good at defense, which the Hawks need, because now you got Trae Young scoring, and somebody can help him cover up on defense. Yeah, good positional fit. That'll be fun to watch. Killian Hayes got picked next by the Detroit Pistons. You know, this was a guy a lot of people were saying was going to be the steal of the draft. You know, out of France, I believe he played his last season in Germany, though, for Wachio Farm. You know, lead guard at 6'5", big frame, 192 pounds at 6'5". So, you know, this is gonna be fun to watch. He's very good athletically. And the Pistons, they had that hole there at point guard, and he's a good point guard. So I think that's a good pick all around. I think that's going to end up, he's going to end up having a great career in Detroit, I feel like. I mean, I probably will be wrong, like I'm wrong about everything, but I think he's going to have a great career. Obi Toppin got picked by the New York Knicks. Obi Toppin is somebody I was very excited about, you know, because, you know, he's an older player in college. I believe he's around 23 now. You know, the thing with him is he has a lot of good skills that I think would work very well for a team that needs that right now. But the problem is it's New York. It's New York Knicks, and they're so dysfunctional. And honestly, Thibodeau is either going to run him into the ground or not going to play him at all. And, he's going to translate immediately, though, but, you know, very high floor, low ceiling type guy. You know, I don't really know what's going to happen here, to be honest. Hopefully it'll end up well. I don't know, though. Denny Avdija got selected from Israel. This was another guy people were very excited about. From the tape I've watched of him, he's a big-time playmaker. And, I mean, what helps with him, too, is that he's been playing against, like LaMelo Ball. I think that was a big reason why LaMelo Ball has improved so much in the past few years. It's because of playing older competition. Of course, LaMelo Ball in the Australian NBL and Avdija in Israel. You know, this is a good pick for the Wizards. And you know, they need a small forward, and you know, this will help them move into the future more as they kind of get past John Wall, Bradley Beal, that kind of era that doesn't seem to be going many places. You know, running off some bigger picks, Tyrese Haliburton fell to the Kings. I know that's very exciting for the Kings. You know, that should end up well as a side wing to really ramp up the Kings offense. Cole Anthony from North Carolina went to the Orlando Magic. I like this pick a lot. Getting a shot creating point guard in to Orlando should help. I mean, they need scoring, so it's good for them. Good for them. Josh Green from Arizona went to Dallas, but I believe that pick got traded to Oklahoma City. Actually, I do not know what happened with that pick. You know, picks are crazy. I think this actually did end up being with Dallas. But, you know, good solid pick there. Tyrese Maxey went to Kentucky. People are very excited about that. He's a good two-way combo guard. I think that'll end up well. I think that'll end up well for him. RJ Hampton to the Bucks. That's a good pick. Quickly to the Thunder. This is a pick that got traded to the Thunder. Never mind, Knicks got this pick. You know, this should be a good one for the Knicks. But I mean, it's still the Knicks, and their player development has been so bad lately. So who knows how that's gonna end up? Peyton Pritchard went to the Boston Celtics. Big surprise there. But you know, deep shooting range, that should help him. Yeah, let's move on to the second round. Tyrell Terry went to Dallas. And that's a good pick for them. You know, very, very unheralded coming into his freshman season. What excites me about Terry is that he's young. He has a lot of great fundamentals. And, I mean, he is just 160 pounds, so need to put a little bit on that frame, but should be fun to watch. Xavier Tillman from Michigan State went to the Grizzlies, which, you know, interesting pick. The Grizzlies were getting heralded. They had a very good night. You know, things are crazy just because of all the trades that happened. I don't think any of the second round picks stayed where they were. It's absolutely insane. And Skylar Mays from LSU ended up with the Atlanta Hawks. I like that move a lot. I think that's great for the Hawks bench. Get some scoring there. Skylar Mays really impressed me at LSU, though. So that should be very fun to watch. And, you know, finally, this is the last one I'm going to talk about. Cassius Stanley went to Indiana. I like that. I like that one a lot. But that is all I have because running out of draft picks, the NBA draft is particularly short. Hot take there. You know, not too much to talk about. Have a great rest of your day. Make sure to stay safe and stay healthy over the holiday season. Do not travel if you don't have to. I have to get home, but yeah, don't travel. Be safe this holiday season, please. Just not worth it. But yeah, make sure to check out my social media to, you know, look for this show coming up because it will be fully on the road, broadcasted, 1,000 miles away from here in San Jose. So things are going to be a little crazy, but hopefully things will go smoothly. But have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your semester. Have a great rest of your 2020. Hopefully a little better than it has gone so far. Still trying to get that PS5, though. Still need that PS5.